Hi, I'm Christina Cross. You're listening to Mixstream Radio at Mixposure.com. Best indie music on the planet.
Welcome back to the Mix Files. Crank it up there, Christina. Our guest this week on the Mix Files is Christina Crofts. We are listening to some of her music right now, Angel Dust. You'll get to hear the song without my rude and considerate voice over the top of it later in the program. You'll also get to hear Christina talking about her escapades with music. The Mix Files premieres an interview with a Mixposure artist each week on Saturday Night Rocks, which comes to you on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. We appreciate you tuning in. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of great music here this evening. I'm Cooter, host of the Mix Files. I'm the lucky guy with the gig that gets to talk to all these people. Quite an honor, I must say. Great music this evening for you. Christina Crofts. I'm going to shut up. We're going to get right into it. You'll get to hear Angel Dust a little bit later on. Mixstream Radio, Mixposure.com. The Mix Files, I'm Cooter, and this is Christina Crofts.
How did you get started in music, Christina?
Well, it was a very long entry and introduction to it, but I was always a bit, I was sort of smitten with the music bug from a really young age. My mum mainly was probably the main influence because she just loved music and pretty wide, diverse range of, you know, from country through to classical sort of thing. Uh-huh. And as a little kid, I loved dancing and I loved classical music in particular. And then, you know, just the way things went in our life, because we weren't particularly well off. And I grew up in Queensland, Brisbane, which was kind of a bit of a slower place to grow up, I suppose, and there weren't that many opportunities for dancing. So as I got a bit older, I sort of, you know, even though I loved it, it was kind of a passion, it just dwindled because there were never consistent ballet teachers or dance teachers around, and they'd come for sort of 6 weeks and then leave town type of thing. So one thing and another. And I also had an uncle, my mum's brother, Uncle Stan, was a country balladeer. Mm-hmm. He used to breeze into town once in a blue moon, and I remember him, he always had a guitar with him, and there'd be a lot of drinking and partying and stuff going on in those days. And yeah. I remember when I was about 8 years old, one time he showed me how to play three chords on the guitar. Uh-huh. And I thought it was like G, C and D or something.
Yes.
And even though we never had a guitar around or anything for years after that, I somehow just remembered those chords. And then, you know, by the time I got to about 11 or 12, I was just starting to really sort of, it was actually John Fogerty and Creedence that sort of triggered my passion for wanting to play guitar, which is really funny because I don't necessarily consider John Fogerty the greatest guitar player on earth, but just his vibe and his swampy stuff, I just loved it so much. I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to play guitar.
Yes.
And I used to say to my mum, what's that instrument, you know, and she'd say, oh, I think it sounds like it's a slide guitar or, you know, Hawaiian guitar, she used to think a lot, but it was, you know, kind of where it started from.
Uh-huh.
So, well, yeah.
Go ahead. Were you done?
I actually learned to play piano accordion just sort of roughly about the age of 10 or 12 as well.
Cause, oh, cool.
You know, it's sort of, I think because my mum had a piano accordion that my sister was given, a bit of a long family story, but my sister lived with my grandmother for a good while because mum had her hands full with lots of kids. And my sister Terry was a bit sort of a bit of a tearaway, so she went and lived with my grandmother, who they kind of had more money and stuff. So they bought her this beautiful accordion, which incidentally I've actually still got. So it's probably like 60 years old or something now.
Wow.
And it's in a bit rough condition, but I'm probably a kind of person that would gravitate to any instrument if there wasn't a guitar around. So yeah. And I having sort of German and Norwegian blood in me, I think I was leaning towards all that alpine music. So so Mum used to play, she taught herself to play the accordion, and I loved it so much too. I said, I want to learn how to play that. So that was my first instrument, and I could kind of handle it. I'm no great shake on it, that's for sure, but I can play, you know, a few tunes still.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister was married to a guy who was a merchant seaman, and he was away a lot, but he had an old Maton electric guitar. And then, long story short again, he had a car accident and sort of gave himself brain damage, so he wasn't able to actually play his guitar anymore. So at that stage I was about 14, and that was when I said to Mum, can I buy Peter's guitar? You know, and so he had the guitar and the little practice amp, so I paid $35 for that, like probably age 14 or so.
Yeah.
And I spent every other moment sort of clonking away on it and trying to work things out and sort of playing along to my Creedence LPs. So that was it. And I wasn't sort of mixing, you know, being where we lived and everything and not being around musicians much, I didn't really have much connection with anybody else. So, but in, like getting back to my uncle, Stan, once I got that guitar in my hands, I could remember those three chords that he showed me, and I sort of was able to pick up a lot of stuff just by watching people on TV, especially chords. Like I didn't really have any understanding of lead playing, but that came later.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm particularly interested in your slide. Now, did you listen to any Duane Allman at any point in your life? Or?
Yeah, mainly later once I met Steve, my husband. He's like, we met in 1982. He was actually playing in a local pub band, and he was actually married to someone else in those days. So, you know, but we knew each other for about, I had guitar lessons from him for 5 years, but throughout getting to know him, he introduced me to a lot more, you know, musical diversity and people like, yeah, the Allman Brothers and stuff like that. But probably David Lindley is my favourite slide guitar player. He's the one that really, you know, floats my boat.
Yeah.
Especially his electric earlier stuff, you know.
Uh-huh. Is there a tune that I don't have that you want to be sure gets included, or are all of these what you'll be happy with if I'm working with these?
I'm okay with those. There's the one I was just going to point out, the Stone Cold Tomb one, that was actually done off a previous album called Crosstown, which when my husband was still functional as a musician, we had a band together, and that was we recorded that album in 2006.
Uh-huh.
He was struggling to play guitar back in those days as well. It was starting to impact on him, but that was Stone Cold Tomb is pretty much the first song that I wrote. So I had to write it for a reason. Somebody said, write a song and I'll, you know, we're doing a pilot video for something. Anyway, that long story short, that was how come that song came around. And I like that one actually, but there was other songs on that album. There's one called Gonna Find a Way, which is a really cool song, a bit more modern and bluesy, rootsy sort of vibe. But see, I don't know whether you want to play those ones because it's Croftstown or if it's just my songs, my album you want to focus on.
If you had anything to do with it, I'm interested in it, if you would like it included.
Okay.
It does not have to be what's on Mixposure. It does not have to be strictly you. You know, you have to be involved with it in some way.
Obviously,
I don't want to play just music you like. I want, you know, this is about music that you have participated in creating.
Yeah.
Would you like the other one included as well? Because I can do that. We can do that. If you'll just send me a copy of it, it'll be in there. All right. You take it on yourself to remember to send me that, and I'll make sure that it gets in there.
All right, no worries. Because it was a bit of we actually had a little feather in our cap that it got nominated in the top five of the blues category in the Music Oz Awards in 2006.
Cool.
In the Music Oz Awards in Australia. That was, it was pretty cool. So we didn't win, but we got a nomination, which was kind of exciting. So, yeah.
such a hard, hard road. And when I travel alone, it's such a heavy load. You know the way to your heart is such a hard, hard.
For you, it wasn't the guitar by itself. I mean, some people are just become fascinated with the guitar and get into music for guitar. I mean, a lot of guys tell me that they wanted to play guitar because it seemed to be easy to get girls, you know, if you were a guitar player.
Yeah.
So they weren't that much interested in music to begin with, although they grew to love it and have a deep understanding and become real scholars with music. That wasn't what prompted the, you know, that wasn't what prompted it. But it sounds to me like it was music with you, and then the guitar was the instrument that you just sort of wound up with. Is that fair?
Well, it's, to some extent, I think, maybe. But guitar actually became, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but, like, when I started to hear guitar solos and stuff in my, like, you know, before I was a teenager thing, that was when I just went crazy over the sound. I just loved guitar solos. And one of my favourite early, well, when I was a bit older than that, but, like, you know, one of the solos that really just I ache for it was the solo out of Pink Floyd's Time. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, wow, what sort of a girl am I? Like, listen to this weird stuff. But I think guitar is, it's a passion. It was something that I just had to do. I don't know. I think it was probably that I am musical to begin with. It was just a lucky thing maybe, or, you know, I suppose what I've said is if there were no more guitars on earth, I'd still have to play something. But guitar is the thing that I feel the affinity with.
Yes.
It's just the tone of it and, you know, just it's so expressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the way you can vent your feelings on it.
Oh, yes, you can. whether you feel good or lonely or sad or
upset. just everything. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's like a passion release. It doesn't, you know, like nothing really makes me feel as good as when I'm playing guitar and on stage, especially. I love performing. I'm, you know, I love a crazy wild audience. But, that's my favorite thing.
That's cool. Did you write all of these by yourself, or do you have some co-writers for some of these, or?
No, I sort of wrote them all myself. I put my husband down as a co-writer on some, but mainly because some of them came about from riffs that he had recorded when I needed to, when I was going to, you know, start writing songs. I thought, wow, I'm getting old, I better start writing a song. I've never done it before. You know, kind of putting the pressure on myself to do it, really. We started listening through some of his old, he had some old four-track tapes that he, you know, always, he was more the consummate musician than I was, you know, because he was a teacher and everything. So he was always just, had the luxury of being able to actually just record and do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And there's some ripping ideas in there. So a Midnight Train actually came about because of the intro riff on that was just something that, it's probably slightly changed since I started playing it, but the basic intro riff on that is just something that he had down on the tape. And I thought, that's such a cool riff. So I just took that little riff and then, you know, bashed it into a song. So pretty much the songs are mine, but might be little, just little ideas in there that are his.
Leaving everything behind.
Spent 15 or 16 hours working on a tune in a row without stopping except go to the bathroom and grab something to eat, you know, and it seemed like 10 or 15 minutes to me.
My goodness, that's a lot.
Well,
that's season.
Yes, but I'm sure you've experienced the same kind of thing with a gig. You get locked into what you're doing, and before you know it, either it's over or it's time to take a break, and it only seems like to you it's been a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, actually. It's one of the worst things, especially when you don't gig a lot, too, when you know, like my situation and in Sydney, you know, the scene's a bit hard to fathom and there's not that many gigs, so it can often only be half a dozen gigs a year. So by the time I get them, I'm so excited about doing a gig, they seem to be over in such a flash. It's, you know, back to square one again, and you think, oh, I just wish it didn't have to end.
I know how you feel about your gigs, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of disappointment with music.
There he is.
I suppose everyone's in the same boat, or most people, you know, it can be quite disappointing when you just, you know, you've been putting most of your life and energy into it for so many years and you still sort of can't even scrape together some gigs half the time. So,
yeah.
But never mind, we've got to keep doing it.
Yeah, but the joy from it is makes all the other stuff tolerable.
Does, you know, I decided that a while ago. I thought, you know, I used to churn myself up over it a bit and think, why are we not getting any breaks at all, you know, and, you know, had you know, struggled with that battle in my mind of, you know, must be something we're doing or not doing or they don't like us or what, you know, things that you put yourself through. But I just thought to myself, especially in the last couple of years, I just thought, you know what, I don't give a damn if it's only 3 gigs a year. I'm going to make sure those gigs are so good nobody's going to go home disappointed, and I am going to make sure there's so much fun, and that's pretty much my attitude now. I take every gig as though, you know, potentially could be the last one, and just enjoy it, milk it for everything it's worth.
That's a good way to live, actually. I think
it is. Yeah. I feel better about it all since I decided that was the way to look at it all. Just go, you know, go for broke, have fun, and don't worry too much about whether there's any more gigs coming up. Who cares? Just do them.
Yep. Enjoy the one you got.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And in Time Machine, the intro on that, I had that song just sort of came to me, the feel of it and the chord structure and everything. And then I was going back to about, I don't know, 2007 when I was still working. I remember saying to him one day, and he was still, you know, he was still able to play a little bit, and he was more sort of, well, less demented, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
And I went, remember, said to him one day, I said, I really like this song, but I just feel like it needs something. And then when I come home in the afternoon, he goes, well, darling, I've written this thing. Come down and have a listen. And it was just that simple little intro riff on it. So that, you know, I thought, I credit him for having co-written the song, even though it was more the riff rather than anything to do with the lyrics or the structure of the song other than that. But, yeah, so because he wasn't sort of as geared towards words and lyrics, so... he's great. I'm not a person who thinks much about riffs, so I think about the tunes and the songs and the melodies, but then I often get stuck for a catch that, you know, just comes out and grabs you. So he's great at that stuff, so yeah.
We'll be right back.
Well, how did you find Mixposure, Christina?
I'm not actually sure. It's been a couple of years. I can't remember. A lot happens in my life.
that's all right. It's not.
It was probably actually a friend. I might have been someone that I know on Facebook or one of those places, I'd say, because there's a few women that I know in like on Facebook, musicians, but yes. I'd hazard a guess that that's probably how I probably saw that they had something on Mixposure and then investigated what Mixposure was and took it from there. So I think Tommy Brewster is a woman that gets played a lot on some of the programs, and she, I've never met her, but I think she's in New Zealand as well. But going back a couple of years, she and I sort of, you know, communicated a fair bit through the faces and pages, and, you know, mm-hmm. and that might have been how it came about.
Yeah, Tommy was in the chat room Saturday night, as a matter of fact.
Was she?
She certainly was. Do you do any online collaborations?
I haven't, actually. I think going back a while, Ked was talking about that. Like, he mentioned it to me, but we never, we didn't get that far. He sort of mentioned, you know, would I be interested in doing something with him? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll give it a go. But at that stage, I didn't have a very good computer set up as well. So I've got a sonar program on my old computer in my shed, which is like our rehearsal studio thing. But It's not hooked up to the internet anymore. It's something's gone wrong with that too. So, but yeah,
Go ahead.
I have a friend, the drummer, who's done a lot of drumming with me, Peter Heckenberg, who's gone to live in the States probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he, if I'm working on a song or something, I can email him the track and he can put drums on it and email it back to me, that sort of thing. So sometimes.
So you do have the rig set up, and you can do it if you would feel like doing it, huh?
Yeah, I can now. I'm sort of getting a little better at it, but I'm a bit dopey when it comes to sometimes I'm not as bright as I want to be in terms of computer, and I'm not an expert on the recording side of things either. I'm just sort of fudging around with it, really. But
yeah, okay. Now, when you say you're not an expert on the recording side of it, do you mean like the mixing part and the adding effects parts and the EQing and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty much basically laying down just basic rhythm tracks and then putting down an idea over it. But, you know, I haven't come up with anything that I'd probably play to anybody yet, you know what I mean? Like my friend Peter Heckenberg, the drummer, he comes out to Australia every year in about May, and he just came, he recently was out here, and he went down to my computer and he uploaded a whole heap of just basic drum tracks for me mm-hmm. that he'd done, you know, and, you know, like a rock track and a blues track and stuff like that. So I've been down there just laying down some rhythm and, you know, lead tracks over them, just working on ideas sort of thing for my, you know, long-awaited next CD.
You never know where the ideas are going to come from, and sometimes it's the tiniest little, you wouldn't imagine it at first, but it sparks. You know, just something sparks something, and then all of a sudden the dominoes just start falling and everything just sort of falls into place. And
and
you're standing around saying, why was this so difficult? Why was I having such a hard time with this?
I know.
I know the feeling.
And sometimes they just come in a flood, like, you know, See You Stumble, that was a song that just, I mean, it's sort of out of my range of style, really. It's a bit jazzy, which is not something I ever professed to like, but or really like. But I felt that song, just, it was just like the words and the whole tune and everything just came streaming into my head from nowhere one day, and it was just like, wow, yeah, more of that would be good. And yet other songs I just struggle trying to find the words because I've invented the melody and the song first, and then you go, now what's it going to be about, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I have to sit down and really struggle and think of a theme, and, you know, I'm not exactly a prolific songwriter, so, but, some things just happen. I mean, it's weird.
Didn't call, you're only causing me pain. Why'd you treat me so bad when you know that I don't deserve it? I lie awake at night, I wonder why I put up with it, 'cause you're not worth it.
Angel Dust, that's my favorite. I've always been a fan of instrumentals. Like when I was a teenager, I loved The Ventures and The Shadows, I mean, which seem a little bit sort of clean and, you know, strange to turning out to be the rocker that I did turn out to be. But I like some Jeff Beck stuff as well, and a lot of, you know, various things. But I love Angel Dust, and that came about from a Steve idea as well. Steve had that little intro riff on that. Uh-huh. Just the very beginning of it. That was an idea. It was played a bit differently, but that was the idea. And I thought, that's so cool. What could I do with that? And then I just sat down and that whole thing just developed. And I pretty much just recorded it as I went in the studio that day. I said, this is the idea. I've added this chord progression to it, and I just want to jam over it and see what comes out of it. And that was exactly what came out of it. So, wow, I like it very much. But that sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but it's not really. It's just I'm proud of it.
Well, you know, if somebody asks you if you can drive a car, you're not blowing your own trumpet if you say yes.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Nights. We haven't talked about that one.
Yeah, that was one that just developed. Funny, typical woman. I was ironing one day years ago, and that whole little tune just came into my head while I was ironing, and I thought, said to my husband Steve, I said, I think I've written a song. I think I've got another song coming. And you know, then all of the songs that I recorded on that album in 2008 were basically the same, under duress. They were just ideas when I went into the studio, and I just, you know, said, well, I've got X amount of dollars to spend on it, but I don't get any time at home to actually develop anything, and I don't really know what I'm going to do with them. Some of them I had some words for and some I didn't, and I just, they're all basically just ideas for a song, not even a developed thing, but it took me about probably 5 weeks or so to get it all, you know, going back once or twice a week for a couple of hours to do it all, but that song just came sort of from nowhere too, a bit like the other one. It was just, you know, I thought, I call it my stalker song, you know, but yeah. It's just like... It's a bit of a stalker vibe, you know. Fatal attraction. Yeah. Breaking away from me, you've got another thing.
I might be changing my opinion of your big heart right now.
Oh, walk, stalk, and no action. Oh, buddy. Taking off in a car. That's a funny one if you want to have a laugh.
Well, if you got one, yeah. What's the name of it?
It's a silly song too. It's got a nickname called the Stupid Lucy song, but it's called Fine Set of Wheels, and it's a tongue-in-cheek. It's got slide guitar, and it's just a bit of almost like a country rock, I suppose, or southern country sort of edge to it. But it's about a girl who wakes up in the morning. It says, the words are, Lucy, you know, when Lucy woke that morning looking for a man, she got as left that morning looking for her man. She got as far as the corner when she had a change of plan. There it stood in the sunlight gleaming, all muscle-bound and wild. Lucy drooled and she opened her purse. She began to smile. That purple Ford just ready to roar, ready to eat up the mile. So the story is she just takes off in a car. She got the man's credit card. He's a bum who's always out doing what he shouldn't be doing. So she's got stormed off down the road looking for him, but she gets distracted because I happen to have a bit of a passion for purple utes. not necessarily Fords, but we've got these sensational Holden utes in Australia and I've always had a fantasy that I want one, V8 ute. So anyway, Ford rhymes better than Holden. That's why it's in the song. But
well, so, you know, creative license.
Hey?
Creative license.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. You know, the story is she's out on the highway. Basically, she just, it's a highway song. She takes off. She decides better than going after the man. She uses his credit card and buys this nice purple car and takes off in her fine set of wheels. So.
And Stupid Lucy, is he?
Well, it's a nickname because I don't know why. I think I just called it a stupid song in the beginning. I said the Stupid Lucy, you know, okay. So it's just, it's called Fine Set of Wheels, but yeah. It's a bit of a silly song too. But anyway, a funny song, I suppose.
For her man, out of here.
Here she comes.
You have been listening to The Mix Files. I'm Cooter, your host. We appreciate you tuning back in. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you listening to Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. If you're not familiar with Mixposure.com, it's not that difficult to find. You type in Mixposure.com. Kind of convenient how that works, isn't it? Into your internet browser and click enter, press enter, click the green arrow, the go button, whatever it is you have, and you're here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, take it easy.
You too, Christine. Bye-bye.
Okay, see ya.
The Mix Files, number 12.